I'm going to call this quick work session to order. Roll call. Everybody is present except Councilman Danny Ross. And this again is a work session. Something new that we're adding. We're going to slide through for the first time. Yes, Lenny, do you have something?
No.
So this work session should just be 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll scoot to the regular meeting. For discussion purposes, guys, on the minutes in our regular meeting, I'm going to motion to defer that to the February 23rd meeting. Those minutes aren't ready. We need to help Sharon identify some of our voices off of the recording in her notes, so we will need that time to help her with those minutes.
Okay.
All right, discussion on the Atlantic Gaslight Company franchise agreement. Consent or, yes, Danny.
And again, I don't know if it's been changed, but that date on page 3, I think it should be read December 1st, 2008.
Yes, you caught that too.
December 1st, 2007. That's the only thing that I've found in there. Brian, is that the finance council?
Yes.
Brian? Yes, what? Okay. On page 3, I thought there was a first paragraph, but I think it was supposed to commence as of December 1, 2008.
That's correct.
About 2007.
Yes, that's correct. We'll make that change.
Okay. Were there any other things on discussion? Yes, Robert?
Yeah, I noted that we had a lot of discussion on the Comcast franchise agreement about requiring them to put things back the way they found them. And if they fail to do so within 10 days, we can put it back and we can send them a bill. And I think putting that language in here makes a certain amount of sense because Atlantic Gaslight does very much the same sort of thing. I also noted that we're agreeing to a franchise fee of $332,072. And I'm wondering how that compares with what we expected.
We won't consent this item.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, we'll leave it on the regular agenda and we can get some answers to that. Thank you, Robert. Okay, the resolution on to amend the regular city council meetings, any discussion on that?
I couldn't find it either. I haven't seen it.
It should be E2. And there doesn't seem to be an order for me.
Nope, there's nothing in it. Right? Nope, that's it.
Right,
let's hold off on that.
Let's hold off on that. We will not consent that until we figure out what that is. Public assemblances, any just discussion on that? This one here, then? Okay, yeah, code of ordinances. I'm sorry, public assemblances.
I just have a quick comment. I've asked Brian to look at one definition in that, the definition of event, and I think it could be much tighter so that it regulates fewer things. So I hope when we actually sit down and talk about this, maybe he's got a different definition for event, and other than that, I'm good with it.
Okay, well, we'll leave that on since that's a first read. All right, discussion and vote on the VOIP agreement. I'm guessing we do not want that on consent.
No.
We'll keep that on regular. Okay, the temporary occupancy agreement.
Fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Any other discussion?
That's the free one, correct?
Yep, that's pretty easy. All right, so we move that to consent. It's all good with that. All right. Let me make a note of that. And the license for the conference center. Any discussion on that?
Yes.
Okay, we will keep that on regular agenda. Okay, since this is, again, a quick work session, we did add, and I skipped it, public comment at the beginning and the end. So I'll open it up, but I'll remind the public that we are going to do public comment in just a few minutes. So if you so desire, you can hold your public comments for 5 minutes and then speak. So with that, are there any public comment cards for this work session? Okay, thank you. All right, on the work session, Brian, I don't need approval to adjourn, do I?
Yeah, I would do it.
Okay, do you have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, this is adjourned. That's for nothing. All right, we're going to move to the regular council meeting, which I am calling to order. Again, roll call. Councilman Ross is absent. Please note that. And Mr. Whitney, you have invocation?
I do not, unless it's in the book. Oh, here it is. I got it.
Would you do the honors?
Sure. Everyone rise, please. At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep charitable as we deliberate.
Thank you, Robert. John, will you lead us in the pledge, please, sir?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we are now going to do a swearing-in ceremony for our new judges. So, Judge DeCampo.
Flag in the background.
I got it. Rick Powell.
solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office
that I will faithfully execute the office
of municipal court judge of the city of Dunwoody
of municipal court judge of the city of Dunwoody
and will, to the best of my ability
and will, to the best of my ability
support and defend the Constitution of the United States
support and defend the Constitution of the United States
the Constitution of Georgia
the Constitution of Georgia
and the Charter
and the Charter
ordinances and regulations of the city of Dunwoody
and regulations of the city of Dunwoody
I am not the holder of any unaccounted for public money.
I am not the holder of any unaccounted for public money.
Due to this state or any political subdivision.
Due to this state or any political subdivision.
Or authority thereof.
Or authority thereof.
I am not the holder of any office of trust.
I am not the holder of any office of trust.
Under the government of the United States.
Under the government of the United States.
Any other state.
In any other state.
Or any foreign state.
Or any foreign state.
Which I, by the laws of the state of Georgia.
Which I, by the laws of the state of Georgia.
Am prohibited from holding.
Am prohibited from holding.
I am otherwise qualified to hold said office.
I am otherwise qualified to hold said office.
According to the Constitution and laws of Georgia.
According to the Constitution and laws of Georgia.
I will perform the duties of my office.
I will perform the duties of my office.
In the best interest of the city of Dunwoody.
In the best interest of the city of Dunwoody.
To the best of my ability without fear.
To the best of my ability without fear.
Favor.
Favor.
Affection.
Affection.
Reward.
Reward.
Or expectation thereof.
Or expectation thereof.
Congratulations, Judge. Judge Malone. Good to see you. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, take your name.
I, Timothy Wall.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office.
That I will faithfully execute the office.
Of municipal court judge of the city of Dunwoody.
Municipal court judge of the city of Dunwoody.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of Georgia.
Constitution of Georgia.
And the Charter.
Charter,
ordinances,
and regulations of the city of Dunwoody.
I am not the holder of any unaccounted for public money. Due to this state or any political subdivision. Or authority thereof. I am not the holder of any office of trust. Under the government of the United States.
Which I, by the laws of the state of Georgia,
am prohibited from holding.
I
am otherwise qualified to hold said office. According to the Constitution and laws of Georgia. I will perform the duties of my office.
Best interest of the city of Dunwoody.
To the best of my ability without fear. Favor.
Reward.
Or expectation thereof. Thank you, Judge.
Glad to have all of our new judges on board. We are thrilled. All right, with that, I believe we have a Welcome to the City of Dunwoody sign presentation. Is there anybody here to make that presentation? Give me the camera. We got our men in black here.
they got the first one.
Right. Take the picture before they say it, Bob.
All right. Hold it up.
Three websites chose this sign. It was designed by Bill Grant.
Steve Forrest designed this sign. He's probably lived here most of his life.
And we have how many locations, Bob? 20?
I has 12. I think Robert had.
I had more than that.
Yeah,
28.
And contributions from Girl Corps.
Yes, that's right.
Now, will that expand the billboard sign?
It's got to be electronic again. It's going on Family Domain Road.
But this is as large as my printer goes, so.
Yes, thank you very much.
Definitely Steve and Bill and everybody, Bob and Gordon and Mr. DeVita and all the folks that participated. We appreciate you. You do it, so step up to the plate. Thank you very much. And we look forward to discussing this further at a future work session and see if we can't get the final legs on some of these and get them up sans billboard. All right, next we've got a proclamation for Jeffrey Cohen. And before, Sharon, I might have you read the text of this, but before I'd like to read a letter from Mike Schaefer and family. Are they here in the audience? Hey, how are you? And I'm going to read your letter, and I will try to do it justice, but to give everybody some background on this proclamation and Mr. Cohen. On the night of Wednesday, January 21st, I received the scariest call of my life. It was my wife, Renee, frantically telling me that our house was on fire and that she was watching as smoke billowed from the windows and doors. The fire department had been called multiple times, but they had not yet arrived. While I was so utterly thankful that my beloved family, pets, and friends were safe, I had never felt so helpless in all my life. Knowing that our home and personal property was about to be lost while I sat in my hotel room some 500 miles away. What I did not know was that at that very moment, my heroic friend and neighbor, Jeff Cohen, was risking his life and limb trying to protect my family and our home until the fire department could arrive. Despite desperate pleas from everyone, Jeff was determined to do all that he could do to help save our home. Our family owes such a debt of gratitude to Jeff for risking his personal safety to help a neighbor and friend in distress. Jeff, we want you to know how much we truly appreciate your heroism, your bravery, and your determination on that dreadful night. On behalf of me and my entire family, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And that's Mike Schaefer and family. So with that, Sharon, would you give us a context of the proclamation that we have?
Yes, sir. Proclamation, whereas on the evening of Wednesday, January 21st, 2009, in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, Mr. Jeffrey M. Cohen, a resident of Ball Mill Court, heard the screams of a neighbor and ran outside and found that his neighbor's downstairs bathroom was on fire. And whereas, after determining that everyone was safely out of the house, Mr. Cohen's next instinct was to contain the fire until such time as the fire department arrived. He retrieved his fire extinguisher and ran across the street into the house. And whereas, after his fire extinguisher ran out, he retrieved the garden hose from his home, took the hose to his neighbor's garage spigot, and continued to keep the fire at bay until the fire department arrived approximately 12 to 15 minutes later. And whereas, the city of Dunwoody wishes to commend Jeffrey M. Cohen for his heroic actions, which may have saved lives as well as other structures, in the neighborhood. Furthermore, by keeping the fire from spreading, the danger to the firefighters involved was kept to a minimum. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City of Dunwoody, Mayor and City Council, that in recognition of the heroic efforts of Jeffrey M. Cohen, February 10, 2009 shall be proclaimed Jeffrey M. Cohen Day, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand and seal.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Jeffrey, are you in the audience here?
Come join us. Thank you.
Thank you again, Jeffrey.
One more time, Jeffrey.
All right. Thank you. Jeffrey, and we certainly are proud of you, and I think we would be very hopeful that our neighbors would act as you did and protect us and our family. So certainly proud to have you as a Dunwoody resident, and proud of your actions that night. So that's tomorrow, Jeffrey, just a heads up. And I do understand, don't quote me on this, but I believe that Subway will give you a free bag of chips with a foot-long pizza. All right. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. We have another proclamation, and this one is for this great soapbox derby that's coming up with the Kiwanis Club. I know they got it kickstarted last year, as I understood, and this year expect it to be so much bigger, bolder, and better. And so, Sharon, would you do us the honors and read this proclamation for us, please?
Proclamation. Whereas the first All-American Soapbox Derby race was held in Dayton, Ohio on August 19, 1934, and allows boys and girls ages 18 to 17 to compete in homemade, non-motorized cars for scholarships and other sponsors. And whereas the Dunwoody Kiwanis Club will sponsor its second annual Soapbox Derby Saturday, May 30, 2009 at First Baptist Church Atlanta. And whereas the Dunwoody Kiwanis Club desires to provide the city of Dunwoody citizens with both the enjoyment of participating and watching the Derby races. And whereas the city of Dunwoody wishes to inaugurate this year's Derby by having Mayor Wright compete in the first race, driving a Kiwanis car, which will be provided by the Kiwanis Club. And whereas the city of Dunwoody wishes to commend the Dunwoody Kiwanis Club for their involvement. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City of Dunwoody Mayor and City Council that in recognition of the efforts of the Dunwoody Kiwanis Club, May 30, 2009, shall be proclaimed Soapbox Derby Day.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sharon. And I know there's a group of Kiwanis here. Jared, I know Jared, Addy. Jared is president of Kiwanis. So, Jared, we, on behalf of this City Council, we are looking forward to this Derby. And I don't know if y'all have heard, but we have a mayor pro tem, and the mayor pro tem's duties are to act on my behalf for certain things that I might not want to do. One of them was keep Flora in the dog catcher. True story. So this soapbox thing, depending on my health and well-being, no, I'm just kidding. I am looking forward to the event, and the city council is looking forward to this event. And
you don't get to drive your shelter.
But I will. But we're excited to have this in our community. I know it's much larger than just the Dunwoody community, but we appreciate you doing it. And on behalf of council, I'd like to present you with the proclamation. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to say thank you to the support from the Dunwoody Kiwanis Group, and also a special thank you to Al Titi, who's really helping us kick this off. And then Eddie Abergini is going to be our race director. So looking forward to community support.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, and last but not least, the proclamation for JCAP and CAP concepts. And Sharon, would you kick us off and read that, please?
Proclamation. Whereas on March 25, 2008, Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue signed Senate Bill 82, which allowed the residents to vote and incorporate Dunwoody as a city, and on July 15, 2008, more than 81% of the residents of Dunwoody voted to make it a city. And whereas Mr. Jay Kapp, a resident of Dunwoody and owner of Kapp Concepts, a web designing firm of his own volition, volunteered to design the City of Dunwoody website. And whereas, without compensation, produced a web page that was attractive to the residents of Dunwoody and ensured that material on the website was accessible to all groups and tested the site for functionality in different browsers and at different resolutions. And whereas, closely with the IT department of the City of Dunwoody, incorporated graphic user interface, GUI, features and continues to provide ongoing design of the website, promos, and ad banners. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Mayor and Council of the City of Dunwoody that we commend Jay Kapp for his selfless actions, which have saved the residents of Dunwoody thousands of dollars.
All right, Mr. Kapp, would you come up here? And let me say a couple words with Jay as well. Most of us know Jay, and gosh, you know, he has stepped up to the plate just countless times over the years, and never asking for a dime, but everybody has needed his help and websites, and I think it's a just a perfect example of a great community business that steps up to the plate and volunteers their your time and efforts and your corporate time and efforts for this city. So Jay, again, on behalf of council, we hats off to Kapp Concepts and yourself, and we thank you very much for all of your work and service to the city.
I do a little hard work. I just want to say a couple words. And by the way, myself and Vice President Cheney are starting a hunting club. Anybody wants to go with
you? About Jay, when we started Dunwoody, yes, Bev, Liz H. and I went in to see him one day, and I said, you know, we really need some help here setting up a website for Dunwoody, yes. And I said, the bad news is, Jay, we may not ever be able to pay you a penny. And those are exact words that I said to him. And he said, that's fine. If you get a couple extra dollars, that'd be fine. We were able to pay him a couple dollars in the end, but without any assurance that we could pay him one penny, he jumped right in and did it and put everything in there, and we threw stuff at him left and right, and just one hell of a citizen of the city of Dunwoody.
Thank you, Councilman Shortle. All right, with that, we move away from the nice things and move on to the regular business. Meeting minutes. I'm going to make a motion to defer these till February 23rd. They need a little bit of work and a little bit of help from council for Sharon. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Any discussion on that deferral? Yes, Warren.
I believe 1, 2, and 4 on the minutes are ready for approval. Number 3 needs a deferral.
Okay, 1, 2, and 4, that would be 18th, 20th, and 3rd?
Yes, correct.
Okay, well, I will amend my motion to defer, well, if the approval of the 18th, January 20th, and February 3rd with the deferral of January 26th. Can I do that in one motion, Brian?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do I have a second on that amendment?
Second.
All right, second. Is there a discussion on this? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. Seeing that there's none, we have deferred January 26th and passed the other 3 minutes. All right, meeting agenda. Is there any discussion on meeting agenda? All right, the motion to approve the agenda as is?
Approved.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on that? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? If there's none, all right, the agenda is done. Public comment time. Brian, will you check the cards, please? All right. If you would please step up, Ms. Cohen, and you can just stand right there. That's your comfort spot. If you would please talk to us, and if you could tell Mr. Anderson, Mr. Hotmacher, and Sharon over there what your name is.
Sydney Cohen.
And could you let them know where you live, please?
1752 Baltimore Court.
Well, thank you very much. Nice job. Now you can speak, Ms. Cohen.
Is Jeffrey M. Cohen Day every year?
That is a good question. And you know, Ms. Cohen?
Could you repeat the question?
Is Jeffrey M. Cohen Day every year? It is not. It is. Can we make it every year? That is something that we can, yes, discuss. Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
I believe that's a campaign
prompt. Carefully worded. Campaign prompt. Thank you. Thank you.
You can celebrate it on his birthday every year.
That is a fact. All right, any other public comment?
You're our youngest public commenter.
Thank you.
I wish we had more of you, I tell you. All right, seeing that there's none, mayor and council comment, this is new. I have no further comment. Does anybody have anything they'd like to bring up?
Yes, Mr. Portal. Just to advise the council and also the citizens here tonight that through the mayor's direction, as the dirty little jobs officer, we are organizing what we call a volunteer coordination committee. And each one of the members of the council and the mayor have put forth a name to be on that. That will be coming out pretty soon. As in the interim, Bill Tobin has agreed to be the head of that committee. And our whole idea and effort is to coordinate and the volunteer efforts and channel the talent that we have here in the Dunwoody to improve the city of Dunwoody. Just to give you an idea where this got started, the North Atlanta Church of Christ, which is up on Roberts Road, those of you who live where I do, you're both there, they have a volunteer day every year, and they have put forth all their volunteers. Initially, I was sure there would be maybe 20 or 30, and I went to the first meeting, and I was informed that last year there were 450 of them. So on the 14th of March, from the hours of about 8:30 to 1 in the afternoon, there's going to be a lot of people running around. The main thrust is going to be cleaning street signs. There will be 5 men and women crews, if you will, and we're going to ask all the citizens through the good folks that run that crier, Mr. Williams, that we ask people to put out the garden hose so we can fill up the buckets as we clean the signs. They're going to be picking up trash, especially the real bad spots off of coming off of 285, coming into Dunwoody. I think that's where everybody dumps their trash for some reason. And the other thing they're going to be doing, they're going to be working in the nature center, working at the baseball field, and they'll be working at Brook Run. So we've got a lot of things lined up. There's going to be a lot of them. And hopefully this will be a thing that will become, that will grow, the volunteerism, because we all are well aware that people volunteer once, maybe twice, but if you don't use them, they volunteer a third time. So I just want to let you know what's coming up, and you're going to see a lot of people running around on the Saturday, the 14th of March. Please pass the garden hose, please put out the garden hose so we can fill up the water buckets and clean the signs.
All right.
If anybody's got any other ideas, let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Jordle. Any other comments? Yes, John?
I'd like to thank the Dunwoody North Civic Association, who over the weekend delivered over 1,000 newsletters. In the newsletter, they hand-delivered the homestead exemption to all members of the neighborhood. Also, at the front of the newsletter, I'd like to thank both Warren Hutmacher and Billy Grogan for agreeing to speak to the association on February 17th. I think it's a good thing for the community, and they're looking forward to hearing from you. So thank you for agreeing to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Hannigan. Any other announcements? Yes,
Dr. I'd like to thank Billy Rogan also for attending the meeting this morning with they call themselves the Romeos. They're the retired old men eating out. They had a great time. They loved it. They took the train. So thank you so much.
Fantastic. Right, yes.
It's one thing. Neighbor City, Councilwoman Donna Pittman had a heart attack last week. She's a very young lady, lost her breakfast for the last month. She's got 4 kids. We're passing around a card, but Jerry Penn, who's also active at DHA, and myself are coordinating some meals this coming week for her kids. She just got out of the hospital tonight, and like I said, she's got her hands full with mid-40s, a very young lady, and with four kids at home. So I'm going to put some stuff that way. If you have any, just bring that cards up here, but you can also my cards up here. You can just contact me. So.
Thank you very much for organizing that time. Okay, any other announcements? All right, moving on to the consent agenda. I believe, since this is our first one and we have moved the temporary occupancy to the consent agenda. So, I have a motion to accept the consent agenda. Okay. All right, Adrian, Dr. Bonser has seconded that. Tom Taylor made the motion. Any discussion on that? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, adoption carries, and that will fall with the temporary occupancy piece. Yes, Robert.
I do have a question. Yes. When do we move? When do we start using it for council meetings?
Mr. Huttmacher.
For the terraces?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be using, starting for the February 12th training session. Okay. We'll be held there. We'll also start our first court date on February 25th. We'll be there. And then subsequently, as applications come in for the Board of Appeals, Planning Commission, and the Community Council, will all have their meetings there as well. Those are on an as-needed basis as we get applications.
And we're moving these meetings over to the terraces as well, right?
Your meetings will be still held here. They're still here.
Okay.
Likely the first week of May.
Okay.
When we move into the Perimeter Center East location.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. We have a second read of the Atlanta Gaslight Company ordinance. Sharon, could you do the honors, please?
Ordinance 2009-02-12, an ordinance granting to Atlanta Gaslight Company, a Georgia corporation, hereinafter designated as company, its successor and assigns the right and franchise to use and occupy the streets, avenues, roads, public highways, alleys, lanes, ways, parks, and other public places of the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, for constructing, maintaining, renewing, repairing, and operating the gas works and gas distribution system and other necessary means for manufacturing, transmitting, distributing, and selling of manufactured natural or commingled gas within and through the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, and fixing the terms and conditions of such grant to provide provisions governing the franchise fee calculation, to provide an effective date, and for other purposes.
All right, thank you. Brian, could I call on you to give us a debrief?
This is basically a franchise agreement with Atlanta Gas Light. It's their standard agreement with, we've added last time, the insurance requirements. Other than that, it was their standard agreement as they provided.
Okay. Does anybody have questions for Brian on this item? Robert?
Yes. Yeah. As Councilman Shortle mentioned, I think there is a typo on page 3 where it says 2007. It should say 2008. My two issues. One was that we're setting the amount of the franchise, if my calculator works and my math is right, at $332,072. And that'll go up by the rate of inflation each year from that point. How does that compare with what we expected? And I guess that's sort of a Warren question. Did we have any flexibility on how much we collect? And I guess the third part of that question is, will this show up on our Dunwoody citizens' bills as a new tax?
Yeah, it'll show up as a new tax, and how it compares, I do not know.
Money?
As
a
fact that if you look at your bills, right now, Atlanta Gaslight is the overarching gas provider. Mm-hmm. You do pay a franchise fee already as the gas has a franchise with them. Nothing is going to change as far as I understand. I remember looking at my gas bill, there's a franchise fee on there.
Okay. So it won't be a duplicate There won't be a big cab. There's just a switch. Okay. Verifying what you're telling me.
You only pay one.
Thank you.
Okay, Robert, does that clarify your question?
I don't know. I was looking for information on whether the $332,000 is what we had been planning on. Do you know, Warren? We can get back to that.
I'll get back to you because I don't have that information.
Okay. The only other issue that I had, and I mentioned it briefly during the first part of the meeting, was that there isn't a clause in here that requires Atlanta Gaslight to put public right-of-way back the way they found it.
I think we can get that through. I'll definitely suggest.
And just for your reference, this is the two paragraphs out of the Comcast one. I'll be glad to, if you can get that in, that'd be great. And as a result of that, I'd like to suggest that we defer this for the possibility of getting an update. So okay. I'll move that we defer this item for a future meeting.
Okay, I will second that. Discussion on that, I would ask Brian just to double verify this is not going to have any adverse impact deferring.
It shouldn't.
Okay.
Yes. Proper procedures, I can ask a question. Not allowed to ask.
No, not okay. Proceedings.
Okay. A couple things. Brian, the fees actually start on 1 December 2008, correct?
That's correct.
I was looking for how the payment, is it, I know we've got it on that other sheet, but is it in here like it's paid quarterly or monthly or?
This one's paid quarterly.
Quarterly. Okay, so in other words, for the month of December, we should get it sometime, like when? How far down? Okay,
what they're doing on most of these is they're in the process of doing their mapping. Uh-huh. And when they get the mapping done and we get the sign, we should get the shortly thereafter for the month of December.
Okay, so they won't just wait until through the first quarter of 2009?
No.
Okay. All right. Yes, Robert.
Just as part of that, I'm looking in here, and I think Councilman Shortle's question is a good one. I don't see anything about the frequency of payment. We might want to address that in the agreement. There isn't anything in here about the frequency of payment, so we should add that too.
Excellent. Okay, so Brian, do you have those items?
Yes, I do.
Frequency of payment. We have language. You can take the Comcast on putting things back the way they found them. Was that it? Changing the date?
Changing the date on page 3 of page 3 of 2008.
Got it.
And,
all right. That's the three. Any other discussion?
Is there anything else that Lenny would like to add? You were talking earlier.
Well, we just asked whether we could ask AGL to input the same provision that we are on Comcast, that they would restore the road once they've dug it up, since this gentleman's road, when they were putting in some pipes, I guess, they kind of put a mound of dirt on top of it.
Left it.
A whole lot.
Okay, and that is an item that the Councilman Winstein had brought up to repair any damage that has been made. Okay, so the motion is to defer. Any other discussion on this motion? Seeing that there's none, all in favor for deferral, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, this item is deferred. Yes.
We defer to deferring. Is it automatically deferred to the next next meeting?
Yes, it will be. Brian, will you please put that on the next meeting?
Yes, I'll make sure it happens.
Thank you. All right, discussion and vote on, we're skipping CRV. We did that on consent. Number 3, discussion and vote on approval of a license agreement for the use of the conference center in the South Terraces. Can we get a report on that by Warren or Brian? Anything you want to tell us?
Sets the conditions and fees for our use of the conference facilities at South Terraces for our use, and it
usage fees will be, and then any limitations on our use of the facility. And then the state core will be using the facility for court. We'll also be using it for the public hearings and meetings of the community council, board of zoning appeals, planning commission, and then for training as necessary. I think the one we'll have on the 12th and 17th will be the only training. This will effectively full stop the use of the facility as soon as we open up perimeter center. The funds we estimate based on the how the schedule is going to work out with court and with public meetings, it should be about $6,000 or $7,000 total cost, which is covered within our rent that we had budgeted for the year.
Okay.
Part of the challenge that we had is the absolute free is always better. It's very difficult to find a facility that will allow you to hold court. So that was the reason that we chose them. And also, from a consistency standpoint, it just was easier for us to be able to use it for our other public meetings. It's very convenient for the public. It's an easy facility to utilize. Lastly, I want to thank Council. They've also given us a 900, I think it's a little bit more, 1,900 square foot office space on the ninth floor of that building in the south terraces to use until the beginning of May for free. We'll be storing some equipment up there, and then also the police will be using it to also store some of their equipment as well.
My questions for Warren.
Is the security in that area the main floor good, Warren?
Yes, it's a locked traditional office space, and then inside of it we'll have an additional locked door. We're not going to be storing, we will have a safe there, but we will not be storing anything for more than 24 hours.
The cost, it's a minimum of $120, whether we use it for 1 minute or 1 hour, and then $60 an hour for every hour after that, is that correct? And the $45 an hour, is that, you know, all year round, that extra price for utilities?
Yes, if you use it, if you use the facility for the hours, but it's not normally open, which is fairly standard for an office building. Mm-hmm. So what we tried to do is tailor our use to try and limit the amount of hours outside of normal.
On the 25th of February is our first meeting for the city of Denver.
Tom?
We have a security clock for court.
Yeah, we do have a security plan for court that our police department will be handling. We've got the metal detector, and we've got four police personnel will be working security for the court.
All right.
No, Tom answers.
Okay. Thanks, Warren. Yeah, hold on a second, Warren. Could you tell us again about the budget? You said this money is budgeted for in the in your rent?
Yes, sir. Initially, before we had gotten into the details of site selection for our permanent city hall, we had budgeted money in the police department's budget and in the city hall for the non-departmental budget for rent. Because we were able to negotiate free rent for the first year, that's unused funds. There's approximately, I believe, $166,000 in that account. So we'll be drawing down the $6,000 or $7,000 that this will cost from that account.
Okay. Any other questions for Warren? All right. Thanks, Warren. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve this licensing?
Second.
All right. Second by Councilman Taylor. And Councilman Shorter made the motion. Discussion on this? All right, seeing if there's none, all in favor of this license agreement, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. All right, new business. Discussion vote on resolution to amend regular city council meeting schedule. And Sharon, none of us seem to have this.
We got it.
No, we have it.
It's in one.
And I didn't find it in my pre-. Oh, there we go.
This is at the request of council during the retreat.
Yes.
who wanted the opportunity to have, at the work sessions, the ability to do a first read. So you're not going to be actually doing a vote. We can allow that, so we're authorizing the ability to do a first read at work sessions via modifying the resolution.
Okay, so this will allow us to do the first read.
First read of two read ordinances only.
On a work session. Okay, any questions for Brian on that? Yes, John?
Is there any time requirement in the sense of, for example, this evening we had a work session, we dismissed, we had now have a regular session. Are we allowed to do such a thing in the sense of have a first read on a work session and then pass it 10 minutes later?
No, you have to have a 24-hour lapse.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions for Brian? All right, thank you, Brian. Yes, Robert?
I move that we adopt the resolution.
I'll second you. That was Mayor Rice, second.
Point of information?
Yes.
Is this in our package? Do we have about 2 minutes to just scan it?
Oh, you bet. Yes. So,
it should have been redlined, I believe.
It is. It's actually, it's edited. It doesn't look like a color copy, so not.
That is the only change,
isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, that's the only change. What's indicated? The underline and the cross out. There are three places that are changed. One is distinguishes business meetings. The third, whereas, I believe.
Yeah.
The ability to actually read on the work session, I think it's the fifth, whereas. And then we deleted the actual room
right. To
hold these meetings because they have been varied. There's only three changes.
And calendar year.
And the calendar year changes. Calendar year.
Any other discussion on this? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution passes. First read of ordinance to adopt chapter 20, public assemblages of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances. First read, Sharon. You can do a better job than myself, I think, on this one.
An ordinance to adopt and approve Chapter 20, assemblages in public places and providing for inclusion and identification in the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 20, assemblages in public places, as attached hereto and incorporated hereto.
All right, thank you. Any discussion right now on this? This is a first reading. Yes, Robert?
I'll just reiterate the comment that I made earlier, that before we look at this as a second read, I'd appreciate if council would look at a way to tighten up the definition of event so that it isn't quite so broad. In general, I want us to be as unrestrictive as possible, right? Let's regulate what we have to, but not everything we possibly can.
You'll have an edited version for you at the work session.
Super, thanks.
And a second.
I see Lenny's up there ready to talk to us about it.
Oh, yeah,
I was going to ask you any questions. I wasn't sure what the question was.
Lenny, just a clarification reading through this. It looks to me, so an event happens, staff gets together depending on the event and formulates what costs may be incurred by the city, and then it goes to the city manager. Is that the process?
Well, there's two types. You can see there's a general assemblage event, and then there's a special event, and if you look at the way they're designated, a general assemblage event is what we look at, in my mind, was called the First Amendment event, i.e. marches, demonstrations, pickets, all of that, basically the temporary events. The special event is what I call the temporary permanent, i.e. they can last, I think, up to 5 days. It's like a carnival or something like that, recreational event. One of them has in it the possibility of permit fee, that's a special event. The other one, it's reviewed for a permit specifically so that the city can know exactly what devices will be used in order to usher in it, what city resources, police resources, whatever needs to be used, and what kind of organization is being done and make sure that there's trash cleanup and everything like that. The special event, it just a temporary permit, i.e. that may last more than a day, you know, requires a little bit more, including in the discretion of the city, possibility of insurance. And if you look at the description of each, there are exceptions to what is an event on both, which takes it out of, I believe, some broadness. If you look at the Article 1 that has generally described the march or meeting demonstration portion of that, Section 3 exempts certain provisions that I was told that Councilman Wittenstein was concerned about swimming, swimming meets or swimming events, or something like that, like swimming events, which are specifically exempted from the first portion, but are, if they use city streets, are in the special events, but the special events specifically state that it does not apply to anything that will make no use of city streets other than Walton Park. So these are simply there for to make sure that the city's right-of-ways aren't blocked to the regular flow of traffic. That anything that doesn't at all utilize the city's right-of-way is not under the purview of this particular charter.
Okay.
We'll still look at it.
Yeah, I looked at the exemptions, and I wasn't quite satisfied with the fact that they covered everything we might want to cover. Again, it makes perfect sense for us to get notice of, and for us to have some ability to manage demonstrations, marches, that sort of thing. But let's make it as small as we can, right? Those of us who have had to drive on Winter Creek during a swim tennis meet know that it often does block the street. If you go for some of the tennis matches, or my street gets blocked every time Austin Elementary School has a parent-teacher conference. And we, again, nobody would enforce it that way. I recognize that. But let's take out the ambiguity. Let's be as restrictive as we can and just regulate those things that we have to.
Just so I would know, if there's specific wording or specific restrictions that you would want to put in, because I'm trying to figure out.
Before the meeting, I went out and looked at, I don't know, half a dozen other cities and counties, and I note that, for example, Atlanta has a much more restrictive definition of what they regulate. So there's a place to start.
Okay, before you leave, Lenny, just to clarify, could you walk us through just a case scenario of the 4th of July parade? What would be the process for the organizers of that?
I wish I had administration here to help me, because I know that they have done this in both of our surrounding cities, but that would apply under the first article, because it's a parade. And if you go under Article 2, it states what has to be done in the case of an application. Now, once again, if we're talking July 4th parade sponsored by the city, it doesn't apply. The city is exempt from all our ordinances. This is a July 4th parade sponsored by a private organization.
It is.
Aside from the city.
It is.
Then you have this. And you have to go and under Article 2, you apply for a permit that states what has to be included in the application, and the administration should have for the city manager at some point guidelines and applications for it, and they've used it. I know several members of our administration department have done this for the city of Sandy Springs previously, and do know how this operates. And so if you look at section Article 2, Section 2.2, it says what everything has to be included in the application.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the city manager, or his designee, which would get warned if the city manager does not have time in his day to spend a long time trying to review each and every application, he will, of course, defer to the administration department if he'd like. But they will review as to what the plans are, what routes are being taken, what city resources need to be used, whether there's trash cleanup, as you can see on page 4,
right.
First aid provisions and vehicles to be used to toilet facilities and everything like that. And the permit will be issued if it is designated that it doesn't have an unreasonable impact upon the public streets, public property, and resources of the city, and without endangering the public's health, safety, and welfare. And I know that, that doesn't really release specifications, but it allows the city manager to have a reasonable discretion based on the event, based on the resources that are being used for the event, to allow or not allow it. But there are, of course, appeal provisions should that be denied.
Right.
But that's the general. The specific special events, it's a similar process, but it also requires certain other departments to community development, public works, to be able to approve certain provisions that will be within their purview before that special event is granted.
Okay.
Thank you.
John? Just sorry that Councilman Ross isn't here. Just as you asked about the 4th of July parade, I'm sure he would be asking the exact same question for Lemonade Days, which is coming up very shortly. So.
That's a big point. You know, 30,000 people coming out of the 4 days.
I'm not aware of Lemonade Days.
No,
I'm not aware of it. I have not lived in Dunwoody as well as
I would like. Well, there's a question about the bike event. The biking event, would that require
yes.
It would under the special events permit. It's exempted under the first practice that doesn't apply to sporting events. But it would not be exempted at special events because we have to look into this, you know, how it will affect the city.
Maybe, Brian, could we task you guys just to mock up, just again, some case scenarios, and let's use Lemonade Days and the 4th of July parade as our sample cases, and walk through the steps of the process.
We'll have for you next Monday for your work session.
Yeah, perfect.
We have the biking event because we have water stations where people may be throwing, you know, paper cups and stuff that might require trash.
We'll have those 3 events. Okay.
Thank you,
man. Okay, great. So any other discussion on this first reading? I will have more information at the work session. All right, discussion and vote on approving a contract for phone internet equipment and services for the 41 Perimeter Center East. Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I'm going to be very brief, and I'm going to hand this over to my duty expert on the IT side. But I did want to, not to be come up first, I did want to introduce the council. This is my first meeting, first official. We've been here 7 days now. This is Michael Lockett, is our IT director, formerly the IT director for the city of Riverdale. Also worked for BC3, which is by circumstances happened to be a company that we had done some business with when I was in Avondale Estates, and is an employee of the Calvin Giordano group, but I did have an opportunity to interview him before we made the final hire, and it was clear that we got the right man for the job. So with that introduction, I will throw him directly into the fire on a $27,000 item.
Yeah.
He's on the plane. He's thoroughly asked any questions that y'all may have. I will preempt the issue just by giving you from a time frame standpoint. This kind of fits into the category since the day I started where we're in a rush to get 500 things done. So normally this is an item that we have much further in advance of the time schedule that we had to get this completed. But certainly with the lease being completed, the police department coming in March 15th, that's why this is coming at you. Now would have been our preference to get this in a work session and have this before you on the 23rd, but to be able to get things rolling by March 15th, we needed to get in front of you all tonight as your first flush. Thank you.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council, and I'm so happy to be here to present this particular opportunity to you. I think we referenced it as a phone system. It's been more network infrastructure. This particular location, 41 East, perimeter 41 East, will be co-housed with police and all of our city services. Building a core network infrastructure allows us to provide 24/7 services to our residents is going to be key. quickly as we could to address the time frame. And initially what came back was a quick solution for this location. The existing solution at our current location at the top of Northbridge just would not expand it to that new location and address several of the needs key to the public safety staff. Both city services and police departments, and with it choosing an existing that would be beneficial to the development of seamless network infrastructure and future growth. The city has an opportunity to address all of the networking infrastructure for voice, data, access controls, wireless access, which would ultimately reduce long-term costs and operational expense for all current and future telephony and IT systems and components upgrades and maintenance. The IT department therefore purposes the use of voice over internet protocol telephone systems. Voice over IP telephone telephony solution offers immediate benefits of reduced operating expense and improved productivity over traditional telephone systems. Since this is a managed solution, which the IT department would manage in-house, we wouldn't have the need for outside resources and would be able to make those changes that would happen on the fly fairly easy. Additionally, implementing a voice solution will reduce dependency of these vendors. I'm truly an IT guy. So.
You're doing well.
Yeah, right.
You're doing well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, take a couple deep breaths. It's fine.
All right. Voice over internet telephony solution offers the main benefits for us as we implement this into the 41 Perimeter Center. It addresses our ability to interface directly into the police department for their ability to move data from the vehicles back to the physical building. Again, this is a public safety building, and that's kind of how I designed the system. It's going to have a 24/7 need, the ability to provide all those services to the police constantly. The reason I revoiced the definition of this phone system to network infrastructure, because it's everything to make that physical location run. If the UPS is that support the switches, so in the event that there's a power outage, there's the ability to use power over Ethernet, which is a newer technology that allows us to integrate access controls for doors, allows us to move phones on the fly as needed, because I'm sure we're going to use that space pretty effectively, pretty quickly. The total cost of the solution appears to be a little bit on the pricey side, but the actual return happens in about 4 years with the solution. It's about a third cheaper than standard offerings from AT&T and other vendors. We're going to combine this with a technology called SIPS, which is Session Initiated Protocol, and that reoccurring cost is only about $1,700 per month, and it provides us with both a data circuit and a voice circuit over one path in a multiple T solution. Considering the alternatives for us is would be to expand the traditional telephone system that we have at 500 North Bridge, or continue to do research and look at other solutions that are on the market. Of course, it's my recommendation that the City of Dunwoody sign an agreement with AdCap Network Solutions to implement a voice over internet telephone solution that addresses the current and future needs for the support and maintenance of voice over IP telephone for Dunwoody. I would graciously open the floor, and I can take advantage of answering any of your questions.
I'll kick it off. What process? I mean, I don't have. Now, I switched my company over from traditional to GoIP, dedicated circuit. We're small, so I think we have 7 lines. So I'm familiar with the technology. It's definitely the way to go. But I guess my question, and I should know this answer, but I don't, but what is the process that you came up with AdCap Network? What process did y'all go through, the RPs, or what? I mean, how did this come to be?
Actually, I've had some history with AdCap. They did a project for Henry County where they did 12 sites and 1,000 phones in about 4 weeks and successfully pulled that project off. They've also worked with the City of Marietta and implemented a form of voice solution at that location as well, and they've been successful running that solution for about 4 years. They're one of the strongest vendors in the industry. I've gone through RFP processes through other local governments, and ACAP was the winner in those particular situations, and they just provide a wealth of technical resources.
Okay. Well, I guess the easy follow-up question. So for us, there was no. What was the competition that ACAP was facing?
We did we used a bid that happened in 2008 in Henry County, and we were originally going to take a piggyback option, but just for due to time constraints, we used that as a reference point to build the design for this particular farm system.
Robert, yeah, just to follow up on what Mayor Wright is asking. Did we send out an RFP? Did we get multiple responses? Did we do a formal process to evaluate those so that we're sure? I recognize that they're probably good people, and you've worked with them, and your reference is a good reference. But did we do a formal RFP process where we had sealed bids, and everybody got the same information on the same day, got an opportunity to ask the same questions, had the answers published back?
No, we did not do a formal bid. Once again, we went take the option of doing a piggyback contracting score from the county for a 2006 RFP. But just due to the time constraints to do the release and go through the process in a condensed time frame of less than 35 days to implement, it just did not leave that as a real opportunity for us.
Okay. So the bid you mentioned, was that Henry County bid, was that 2008 or 2006?
It was 2006.
2006. And are those, do you have the results of that particular bid?
We can pull that information for you, absolutely.
Do you know what, just out of curiosity, what time in 2006, was it like early or late?
It was mid-2006.
How about your Marietta reference?
Yes.
When was that?
Marietta's been live roughly about 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry, Robert.
I've got a couple of questions. One is for council. I think our ordinance for purchasing requires a competitive formal bidding process for dollar amounts over a certain level. It doesn't?
We have not adopted a purchasing policy at this time.
Okay. We should get to that. I thought we'd passed something that required a bidding process for dollar amounts over a certain level, but we passed so much.
It's for the warrant for the city manager. Yeah, the city manager has authority.
Okay, don't go too far.
Just to clarify, what the council did pass is that any contract, $50,000 or under, I can sign on my own. As long as there are funds budgeted, anything over $50,000 require council approval.
Okay, thanks. How many ports, what's the size of the system? I'm accustomed when, I look at the cost of these to divide it by the capacity and come up with a per stop cost. How big is the system that we're buying for $228,000?
We're running roughly 94 data ports in the police department. That's going to be a total of 84 physical desktop phones in units. We're going to have a total of 7 network switches to include 2 Cisco ASA to secure the router devices.
Are those 84 desktop phones, or those will be 84 then dedicated lines off of that?
We're going to actually do the DID-based column. We're going to do roughly about 300 DID numbers, which we can use anyway that we determine once we go live. But you'll be able to do what's considered physical ID dialing. So you can actually have a centralized end unit, and it may have multiple numbers on it. It may have a number for a day sergeant or evening sergeant, but they use the same endpoint device.
My math gives me $2,700 a port. That's a lot. I've outfitted offices before with VoIP, but I didn't have to spend that much.
And again, this is going into a police public safety environment, so there's some additional requirements. One of the things that we defined in the request was the ability to do call reporting. What it is, it actually allows the officer, if he takes a call in CID, and then the call initiates and it starts at a really nice calm pace, and then quickly elevates into something a little different, then they can actually take that call as a snapshot and then provide that as evidence. So there's some additional functionality that was actually lined in, and that's kind of where the change from phone system to network infrastructure came about.
Yeah, and I have no issue with it being void. The last question I've gotten, I see Adrian's waiting to talk to. I remember agonizing over the purchase of the phone system that we bought for Northridge. At the time, I remember thinking this ought to be a VoIP system, and we ended up without a VoIP system. How much did we pay for that, and what's going to happen to it?
I'm a little new in the process, so we may have to address that question outside. But what we're going to do with the phone system, I can't address. The key system, the Nortel key system, is a leased option. It's on a monthly lease. We're going to return that back to the leasing company. The phone systems are actually have value. The endpoint units actually have value, and we will resell that back to the same vendor.
One of the reasons we went with the way we did over there was the price in the timelines that we had. You brought that up. And one of the deals that we got that we negotiated in there was that they would lose the phone system without charge over to our new location. So all of a sudden I see that it wasn't
right.
That's it. I have a couple of questions just for yourself.
Sure.
Your turn.
Hold on to your thoughts, Danny.
Okay.
I have a question for one or two. But first, did you say that this system allows access? You'll have control with all three cards to access for security.
It's going to have power over Ethernet, which is the ability to integrate other devices like cameras, door control access into the solution. One of the things that we're looking at in the police department is a wireless way to upload the car video data back to the building. We'll be able to build in wireless access points on the fringe sides of the building to pull that data from the cars back to the building, and that'll be attached to a POV port and a wireless device.
Okay, that's your okay. And then will that also take care of our internet? Because that was part of our agreement that we did on internet.
This is the infrastructure that we would use to move the internet and data in and out of that building. We're going to use a SIP technology for internet. It is probably one of the cheaper solutions that provides us the bandwidth to address, of course, again, public safety and then the day-to-day operations of the city. We're looking at a 6-megabit circuit, and I'm getting a technical term.
This is just
so this is cool information in and out of that building. So it will definitely have the bandwidth to for our current needs and our future.
This is just equipment.
We'll still need to store data somewhere else.
That
was supposed to
be that
we could
go
into
that right now.
That falls into
services
as well.
Right.
That's outside
T1.
Of the system
when
the network
is
first.
It just asked one.
It'll serve
all the nodes. 1-2-1. When it was decided that we needed the system and why there wasn't enough time allowed to do an RFP.
I don't have a good answer for that question. I think certainly something we should have anticipated probably a month or two ago, and didn't do that. From my perspective, it just didn't come about.
Would it be possible to have gotten more competitive bid with RFP, especially with economics?
I don't know. The one thing that gives me some bit of confidence is that from a government contracting standpoint, procurement, one of the techniques that's used, especially in technology, is the piggyback contracting, which is basically where one government goes ahead, and usually the state is the one that does this, is they go out, they do the competitive bidding, they get all the vendors, they get all the bids, they come up with a proposal that they do it with on that particular unit of government, and then other governments that have exactly the similar, similar requirements are able to trust that process is going well, and then they come out to take the center of that process. It's not the most ideal scenario. Usually you use this either when you have a very complex bidding process that you can then just replicate off somebody else's experience, or if you have a short of time. So that's basically the theory behind the selection on this, was taking off somebody else's competitive bid process. But from a preference standpoint, you know, bidding this out, getting, you know, a number of competitors with the exact same requirements in is certainly the preferable way to do it.
Is this in our budget? I mean, is this something that you plan for?
We did plan for some of the costs associated with this. There's about $27,000 that was put in for this year's budget. What we're planning on doing with this, you know, in association with a lot of other major purchases that we're making, that you know, our first year costs that most cities don't have to take on as we're financing this. And I believe we've got a 5-year financing option to be able to spread those costs out. Actually, the $27,000 we anticipated, you know, months ago is not going to cover this particular type of solution. So it's something that we would have to, you know, in next year's budget, start to correct so that we would be able to make, you know, make this purchase within our means.
Okay, so one more question. Could you just walk us through the process of how we ended up here today, suddenly trying to, you know, take all this in and, you know, $250,000 agreement, and if you decided that we needed this system, and when was it decided, and why are we just finding out about it now?
Sure. I'll attempt to do that. From a historical standpoint, we went through a very brief, abbreviated process to be able to make sure that we had voice and data at the 400 North Third location where we are now. Once we got that in, you know, was taken care of. And I think there was a void between finishing that process and moving into the process of moving into a new facility to think about the fact that we're going to need feminine data and how we're going to do this. So with Michael coming on board last week, I think was probably the first one to think about it, hey, what are we doing for voice and data? So he got started and kicked off within a week, and recognizing the fact that about March 15th we had to have something in place for the police department. That got done. So I think, you know, certainly not the most ideal way, and there's an error made on our part to thought about this ahead of time and gotten, you know, involved in a couple months process to be able to go through. So I think it's just a mistake on our part that got us to this point.
All right, Danny. A couple, three questions. Number one, will the police feedback that the chief wants, I know, where, you know, from the police car into the computer system and back to the police car, will that be up and running? Is that applicable here?
The plan that we've laid forward with L3 and the infrastructure for network, yes, that will all link together. And I think we were slated to go live based on the dates of what that ended.
So in other words, I'm the patrolman in the car and I punch into my computer. What's the feedback time?
That will be determined. I've done the same solution in other locations, and I've been able to get GCIC responses back to vehicle ones in about 4 seconds.
That's pretty quick. You know, when we did the Northridge situation, you know, what we did is, you know, we had the major vendors, you know, bid, which is basically what happened, and that's why the Greenville, South Carolina group got it. AT&T, there were bidders across the spectrum, and like I said, we did negotiate. One of the things we negotiated was moving that system over. That system is just arcade, or what is it? Is it...
It has limitations. It's definitely designed for a small office environment, and keeping in mind that it's just a phone system, you would still have to look at network, some level of network infrastructure, if you were to separate those phones out. There are options with Nortel to do the same ability of passing PoE through a network phone system. As far as the standard for the industry, Cisco has definitely made that mark.
Okay. Is it possible that, you know, you know what the requirements are here? I mean, you know, I was the one who worked there, and even was there for part of the end of it, and we did the system and the phone and different computers. You know, we relied strictly on Don Barkin's IT person, you know, for the, you know, he had me a sheet one day, and I can understand price, but I had no idea what a 9-64 XY was. So is it possible
with your expertise that we could go to other vendors and say, here is our need. You've got 3 days to reply, 2 days to reply.
That's possible. I think there are some secondary considerations that would have to be made. We would obviously lose 3 days. There's ordering of the equipment, some process to actually score the bids when they come back, make a decision at that point. I think standard would be, you know, at least 5 days on most bid releases to give them time to adequately prepare and respond to a bid response.
Can we live with 3 to 5 day delays?
At this time frame, I'm not sure it's going to be a benefit even if we sign agreements today to implement. I think we can turn around fairly quickly based on what we have designed. If we go out to bid, I think it's going to potentially push into that desired date of March 15th.
And we ran through the same thing, you know, with the phones and the computers. We had opened December 1st, and we got the phones finished on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then because we pushed them and pushed them and pushed them, and you know, it worked. I have a little hesitancy, one question, you know, I ask this question all the time, so it's not directly you, it's directed at everybody in the staff. Do we have anybody, yourself or anybody in the staff, that has any connections with ADCAP at all, or any way, shape, or form, financial or relatives or anything else? One?
Yes.
None?
I was just pretty quickly asked, where are we coming up with the other $200,000 that was in our budget?
It's actually going to come out. We're going to repurpose some of the money in the build out from 41 East. The account manager was looking at some funds in that particular arena to repurpose toward doing the VoIP solution. The communication cost line item was what we appeared to have some ability to move funds, and she was actually going to use that to do the leasing for the first 3 years on this particular agreement. So we would be taking advantage of some funds that are already been requested or held for build out for 41 property needs.
Okay. Yeah, Tom.
Now we do expect, okay. And I'm going back from the end, so is there any way to think quickly to look at the vendors? I'm thinking, you know, AgCap is not the only vendor, not even going on a national search. I can think of Digitel, whatever, Doorbell. That's just all the time as well as other companies around here. If we have the exact specs, it's more like an RFQ. They're not really proposing a solution. If we've already got the solution decided, they're just proposing a price. Is there any time to go out and do that?
There could be time to do that if that's what the route that we need to take. I think that the solution as proposed is definitely the best fit for the City of Dunwoody and the police department and the IT infrastructure that we're looking for.
John?
Michael, can you tell me about the bandwidth need in the sense of the prior, we were not thinking of going voice over IP. Now we are. What were we originally budgeting for bandwidth versus what we're going to be using now? What's the cost differential?
Well, I think the snapshot is a little different. If you can imagine, we're in a small office complex where we only have roughly about 30 users. We're actually using a new box 1.5 megabit T that's purely data. But there's also no community development mobile data units or police mobile data units times 30. So what we the snapshot to compare against the 400 Northbridge, it's not a one-to-one for what we're doing at the new facility.
But we probably did have a budget aspect for the new City Hall on what that bandwidth was going to be and that phone system was going to be. Now we're basically taking away the phone system and doubling the bandwidth or putting big bandwidth in. What's the price per bandwidth, and is that within our budget?
The price per bandwidth, the data circuit that we're looking at is $1,600 per month, and that's everything from voice and data. If you were to do a review and look at something from AT&T, that same size environment with that same capability, you would be close to the range of about $4,500 per month.
So is it a single T1, or is it
a band? It's four T1s bonded together. What it gives us is some level of redundancy. Again, this is public safety. So the requirement to provide 24/7 access is high. So it's actually four mounted T1s that come out of two different co-locations for APAC.
Okay, thank you.
Robert. I've really only got one question here, and I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit. The real question, I think, is what happens if we don't approve this tonight, right? If we send you back to the drawing board to do a more formal job, is there an opportunity for us to do that, to have a special meeting in a week, and to have you come back with making us feel more comfortable that we have... That nobody's going to come back later and say, you know what, if you'd only asked me, I could have given you a much better deal, right? This is taxpayer money, and we every bit of that hurts.
And I can directly address that question. This approach and the reason that we took the piggyback option for using the Henry County RFP was because they did the legwork. They have an IT team of about 12 people. Mark Rayner is the director of IT, has won several awards for what he's implemented down there, and he's done the legwork, and he's provided the resource.
Yeah, but I don't mean to interrupt. Sure. I don't think you're addressing the question, which is what happens if we don't do this tonight? If you tell us that if we don't do this tonight, we will not have a police department that comes up on time, then we have one decision. If there is an opportunity for us to revisit this a week from now and still not impact our ability to produce a police department on schedule, that gives us sort of a different thing. So it's really a calendar question.
I'll be completely frank with you. What we've accomplished in the last 7 business days would have taken roughly about 3 to 4 weeks of just core research to bring in this kind of information to design this phone system. We put together a solution that is definitely best fit for this particular environment at 41 Perimeter East. To go out and restart that process, you would be pretty much going into a time frame that would condense your opportunity to turn 41 East live on the March 15th date. Honestly, this process probably should have been started about 2 to 3 months ago.
Let me try to reformulate the question a little bit. I think what Councilman wants to know is that if we were to take the exact specs that we have for this facility and give those specs to competitors in that marketplace, and they were able to turn around the proposal back within 5 days, and the council were to make a decision, say, next Monday, and they said, okay, next Monday, either to this proposal or to an alternate one, so this would be the 16th of February, and the mayor signed it that evening, and we gave a go that Tuesday morning to another, either this vendor or another vendor, would we be able to be operational April 1st for police departments?
That would be a very close requirement to get operational by
the 15th. It is possible.
It is possible.
Okay.
That may answer your question.
Yes, thank you.
Tom, and then. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, what we're looking at here is we've got the technical proposal. We're satisfied with that. It's just the price proposal.
Brian.
Who developed this proposal, and is it proprietary by ADAP? So can we actually provide this proposal outside?
Specs.
Yes.
We're not suggesting that we do
this. Is this a proprietary proposal, or is this...
Let me reformulate that a little bit. Do we have enough within the technical specifications that it not be necessarily proprietary, but do we have something that we would be able to take very easily tomorrow and start to call out a vendor and send them exact specifications for what we're looking for that would be non-proprietary?
Okay. All right, now, Dan.
Well, my suggestion is going to be, and I'll probably make the motion until everybody's finished talking, but I won't make the motion until everybody's finished talking, is that if we defer this, and if we, request that it's too hard to figure out your first meeting, you're going to go home, shake your head tonight, Michael, but that's sometimes the way life is.
I understand.
But if we defer this, and we go back, and we formulate the specs, we you send the specs out with timelines to any competitive bidders that wants to bid, and then put it on whatever network will need to know to do that. And we tell them specifically, these are the specs, here are your timelines. And, you know, if you can't comply with the timelines, you're a non-bidder. If your bid isn't in, we just did this with the vendors, your bid isn't in by 4 o'clock on a certain date, whether that be this Thursday or Friday, your bid will not be accepted. And you will be notified on the following Monday of who awards the bid. And you call them Tuesday morning to make sure we get everything fixed, they all understand, and we'll be stepping off. And whoever did this, here are your guidelines, and here are your timelines for your applications, when you will be there, when you will be up and running. And I mean specific timelines, and if they can't comply, well then they're not there. I think that's the way we need to go. Okay. Obviously, everybody's too solid.
Okay, I've got reported, yes, I'm sorry, Adrian.
I just want to ask one quick question. Is there a call for you installing this, or are you going to have to have it installed?
We're going to use professional services to have it installed.
If we delay too long, are there going to be additional expenses in trying to get it installed?
Well, typically, is there anything from expedite fees, scheduling may be an issue. Some vendors may walk away from it just based on the condensed time frame if they're having parties turn on other solutions at other locations. So we may find ourselves just taking some additional things that we can't control. But I think if we do go with the process of RFP, we'll get responses. And again, we can probably figure out most of those roadblocks. Either the vendor's going to make a decision to bid or not bid, and they'll make that decision for us.
I got one other question for you.
Okay.
Mark, you said we were going to finance this over a 5-year period, is that correct? The installation, basically the one-time cost installation, is that correct?
Yes, I understand that. That is our, what we would attempt to do is, depending on the financing options that we have, certainly we've got the GMA master lease program, but also the vendors themselves, typically we'll do some financing options. I think we have one at this particular proposal, one, a 3- and a 5-year option on financing. I think that's probably the best way for us to go at this point, to be able to spread our costs out, even the life of the system will exceed likely the timing of the financing, but also from the cash position that we're in now, it makes the most sense. Obviously, if we're in a better financial position a year, 2 years from now, one of the things on not just this proposal, but other things that we are financing, my recommendation is when we come back to you and start to prepay some of the debt, if we're in a financial position to do so.
Would we be better off leasing this equipment, or is that an option?
I have no idea. Is this something where you can lease it?
Yeah, there is. Purchasing.
Absolutely. Is this the one that was a dollar buy?
That's
pretty much
part lease of option buy.
There's no traditional from a leasing standpoint. It's similar to the computers. Yeah. Leases that we did, they're called leases, but at the end of the 3-year period, you buy all the equipment for a dollar, and it's yours. So I call it a financing scheme more than a, well, I mean, not scheme, it's not the best word, but financing strategy instead of, it's not really leasing.
Okay, one question for you, Warren, before you sit down. If the motion's made that y'all get your act together, get an RFP out, and we have a special call meeting on Monday, is that doable on all sides before we, I mean, as far as physically doable, what is tomorrow, Tuesday, right?
Monday is a federal holiday, just for your information, not that it matters. We can call it a special call meeting on a federal holiday, but Monday is a federal holiday. The schools are closed.
Okay, so when...
The city will be open next month.
Okay. Well, if it's not Monday, then Tuesday or Sunday. When is the date that you'd be able to do, to get an appropriate RFP out and to get the answer back and to judge it and have.
I think internally in my head, and I, you know, will confirm everything tomorrow. Is the technical specs are pretty much done, and that we would be spending tomorrow making sure that we have the universe of folks to be able to contact to create the exact documentation and get that out. My goal will be by the end of the business tomorrow. I'm giving them a Friday noon deadline to respond. We would evaluate and select a vendor by the end of Friday.
Okay.
You get it a day late in your packet, and then we'd be ready by Monday.
Okay, so it sounds like probably what the best thing to do is I'd suggest holding any motions for setting that date until we get some feedback on Warren, and then we can schedule that, whether it's Monday, Sunday, Tuesday, whatever.
And certainly you already have a meeting scheduled for next Monday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, I had it on Monday.
I have it on Monday. It's a federal holiday. Usually when you have a federal holiday on Monday, it moves on to Tuesday.
Right, that's per resolution. Yeah.
Well, we can
change that.
You can schedule a special
holiday. Okay, all right, so we'll
hold on
that, Robert. Yeah.
We talked about March 15th and we've talked about April 1st. My expectation would be that while it isn't ideal to have your police department start their training and begin to get the ropes without having the phone system in place, at least every one of them has a cell phone and you could actually be getting ready, right? I mean, the real drop dead day is when we start taking calls on April 1st.
I think with this particular solution, because you're combining voice and data, I think the challenge that we have is that you won't have operational computer systems March 15th, and the challenge you get with that, not that everyone just needs to check their email, but from being able to access a network server, but more importantly, to start routine the proper testing on the GCIC system is necessary. I think there are some things, and I'm completely talking on my feet here, I think one thing we'll talk about tomorrow with the chief is that, you know, can we, you know, make sure we have all our systems on our current network operational, and then it's just a matter of testing this new network to make sure that, you know, that the GCIC and the other things that are going to be necessary, our RMS system, are going to work. You know, I think with the can-do spirit, we'll just get it done.
And one other suggestion that, as Danny said, just to throw out, as y'all are quickly formulating the RFP, is put in, as Denny suggested, I think, put in those drop dead dates, you know, right?
Actually, like 2 days before the drop dead
date. Right.
The way we've been doing that. We're also going to work with Don's coordination issues. We've had to lay this out in the building. Some of the other issues there.
Six.
That's my question.
Any other, yes,
Danny? The $228,000, is that included in the invoice? Is that all included?
Professional service to the mayor and all the support.
What do you think you want to spend this question before, Michael? Is it 1 week time frame, a good shakedown time, or is that
The goal is we're dealing with public safety again, burn-in time, servers on network, probably a week prior would be the most desirable. The goal is not working police department. I know the date of March 15th is very close to heart. The idea would be to have at least 5 to 7 days prior with network infrastructure up, with service systems on, to verify, test, and structurally make sure that network infrastructure and data systems are in a working solution.
This is not going to affect our temporary area, the system that we have right now whatsoever, correct?
It'll still be standalone.
It'll still be, okay. Well, that's what I would do, you know, whatever, you know, in consultation with the chief and stuff, and Don's folks, what time you have to have to shake down and back up, give yourself a little factor there, because if you don't, you know, they'll go right up against it, just like you did when you moved over across the hall there, you know, on the 30th of the 14th of the day. Do we need a motion on this?
We will.
Defer this?
Any other discussion before? All right, Danny, you have a motion.
I move that we defer the contract on the phone, internet, equipment, and services for 41 Perimeter Center East until such time frame that is worked out by the city manager and his staff.
can come up with competitive bids for the phone system.
A second.
You got a second on that?
Phone system and network. I'm sorry.
Sharon, do you think you have that?
Yes, I've got it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank goodness, Sharon. Yeah.
any further discussion on this before we vote? Seeing that there's none, all in favor of the deferral, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. All right, the deferral passes. Thank you very much, and welcome to the Lions Den. Okay, there's no other business, so we're at the final public comment. Brian. Billy Kramer. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to have a question for those guys, for Warren and Sharon and Michael. That's okay. What is the likelihood that the cost would exceed the $227 estimate? I assume that's an estimate, not a hard cost. I don't know if he's supposed to answer me or not.
Point of order, can you clarify this on public comment, Brian, as far as the exchanges between public and
staff? Well, he has no right to do so. He can ask that as a general comment, and then if the chair so desires, he can instruct staff to, he can ask questions to staff, or you can, but he has no right to do so.
Okay, thank
but
you. Just,
but you as mayor can.
All right, staff, would you please answer that, please?
basically, what it's designed is it's a actual number that we would implement to fix that dollar amount. We've got all the endpoint costs, all the server costs, all the hardware costs, it's that fixed cost. It might be able to exceed that number.
Yes, John?
Now that we're going to be waiting a week and they've submitted this bid proposal, will this bid proposal have the opportunity to be raised? Can they raise their price now?
Okay, so is that the last public comment?
Yeah, just press the time button.
Hi, I'm supposed to do adjournment. I'm sorry. Brian, we have no executive session, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. We're adjourned.